What's good, everybody? First, before you listen to this podcast, I just want to say I love you guys and just appreciate with all my heart. I hope everybody's doing super well. I also want to talk about the new hit show, Tea with Gary Vee, every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gary. Tea with Gary Vee, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., 2 hours of me doing Q&A with people individually, the deepest in-depth that I've ever done, more than Ask Gary Vee. I'm super excited about it. It's on facebook.com/Gary every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's a smash. If you go on social media, people are freaking out. Maybe my best content pillar ever. If you want to get your questions on it, you can ask at 212-931-5731 on my community app. That's where we're taking the questions from. And what I mean by that is you ask the question there, use hashtag T with Gary V, and then somebody from my team goes in there and contacts you and actually gets you to be in the prompt for asking the question on the show in video form on Zoom, which is the infrastructure I'm using to then distribute out to Facebook. T with Gary V, the new smash hit show, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. West Coast, wake up at that 5:45 time, brush your teeth and get on it. We got a lot of West Coast people on it. Hope you enjoy it. Hope I see you there. Love you guys. See ya.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
My name's Sia Cooper. I run Diary of Fit Mommy on Instagram.
Awesome, Sia. How are things?
Things are pretty good. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, which I'm just going to just jump in and get straight to the point, is how do you deal with assholes?
my favorite way to deal with assholes is with compassion. And I mean this. I genuinely believe that assholes are broken inside and they're projecting their pain. And I get a ton of it. I get a ton of negative feedback because I'm just out there so much. For all the positive feedback I get. I deal with sympathy, compassion, and empathy. I just genuinely know. I know that people project in the outside what's happening on the inside. And so I deal with assholes very easily. I feel bad for them, honestly. And I think not being able to do that is a little bit more of an indication of one's own insecurity and self-esteem. So it's a two-play tack, right? It's very easy once you actually, a lot of people have never heard what I'm saying, which is like they're hurt inside. And then if it still bothers you, you have to ask yourself, why are you believing somebody that you don't even know?
Sure. So do you believe in just blocking and moving on? Or do you sometimes like feel compelled to actually comment or give in to their pettiness?
I've never blocked anybody.
Nice.
Number two, I ignore 99%.
Uh-huh.
And I engage 1%. With sweetness and kindness. One of the more interesting things that happens in my community on Twitter or Instagram that I see often is I'll come and be the bigger person and say, Rick Pants 57, I'm sorry you feel that. But I'm not a snake oil salesman. I'm not selling anything. What do you think I'm selling here? I'm putting out love. I have a business. I'm not trying to sell you. I don't know where you're coming up with that. And I wish you nothing but health. When I do that, 50% of the time that person will come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just having a bad day. 50% of the time they'll double down, but then I'm out. I've said what I've had to say. And that's how I've navigated the last 12 years.
We'll see how that also be beneficial in real life too. But obviously there's a few of us, like myself included, that have, a tiny bit of a little issue, like biting the tongue and knowing when not to say anything.
That's right. There's a lot of people who are, I'm a big believer of be the bigger person in every situation.
Yeah.
There's also the saying an eye for an eye, right? And a lot of people, when they get hurt, they want to hurt back or not bite their tongue, but spit a little venom. I'm empathetic to that. And that is okay. But it is absolutely an indication of one's own insecurity. It absolutely is. And so I think it's super important to do two things in parallel. One, lean in with more compassion and love instead of punch back and really understand that person, do you understand how much of a sucky life it is for somebody to take time, go on somebody else's profile and say, you're stupid, you're ugly. Like they're in a bad fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, really think about you know, why is that triggering you? It's actually triggering you because there is a little bit of like self-doubt, insecurity. And I would attack it. I would work on that on oneself and say, I am beautiful. I am smart. I am capable. And most importantly, everybody has strengths and weaknesses. I think humility in oneself helps with that. You know, I actually think I suck at so many things and I know that I'm wrong at times. That actually helps me deal with that as well.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, have a great morning.
You too. Bye.
Great question. Dustin, that one's going to work on Instagram as a chop up. How do you deal with assholes? That I could see a million views on that on Instagram right now. Yep. Split screen that, team. Feel Good Foodie is next. I'm excited about that. Hello? Hello?
Oh. Hi, Gary. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Of course. What's your name?
Yumna, aka Feel Good Foodie.
It's really good to see you, Feel Good Foodie.
Yes. So should I jump in the question?
You sure should. All right.
So here's what's going on. So we're all in an unprecedented time right now. And I'm actually very lucky though to be working in the food industry. And so as a food blogger, a lot of people are turning to food for comfort, for, you know, all the reasons. So for me, I've had record number of page views, record number of profile visits, record number of people like remaking my recipes. Yet my struggle right now is how do I get brands to actually want to do sponsored work? Because all of a sudden, March 10th, March 11th, like just came screeching to a halt. Like nobody wants to do that anymore.
You don't. Food companies are tightening up. You know, yesterday one of our clients emailed us and said, we're not paying you. This is seven figures. And you're getting fired and we might be going bankrupt. You don't get to affect the other side. What you do right now is A, hopefully you've either saved or you're humble enough to go backwards. And this is for everybody. B, you go ham on producing as much content, doing as many lives, going across every platform. You've been waiting to do TikTok, you've been waiting to do Twitter, you do all that now, you build up. So in 180 days, when shit's truly back to normal, you're fucking getting that. This is chess right now, not checkers. It's not direct, it's macro. So go ham, like all in, like so many people are dwelling. I've heard from a thousand of you already. Like, Gary, I'm crushing, but all my money's gone because the brands aren't sponsoring. I'm like, uh-huh. Like, remember when I told you if there was a recession, like influencers wouldn't be as fun anymore? Yes. Good news. This is a fake recession, AKA it doesn't have the underlining principles to be something super long. Okay. It's likely shit will get back to normal somewhere here later. I mean, the biggest elephant in the room is if this re-ups in the fall and winter, like some experts are saying, then you're starting to get into some shit. But if not, then, you know, we're going to be back to normal somewhere in the next 90, 120, 160, 180 days. I think you need to build, and then take the opportunities when they come.
Okay, so it doesn't matter how many eyeballs are on the account right now and how many eyeballs are, you know, online making the food. You can't really pitch that because the brands just have this idea right now that it's not a good time to spend money, regardless of what's happening.
And everybody like you is also up.
Right.
It's all about supply and demand. If you weren't got it, you and everybody else.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Got it? Okay. Right now, build depth of community, get in people's souls, right? Yes. And so that they stay with you after the fact.
Okay, that's really good advice, actually. Excellent. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. King, what's good?
What's popping, Gary? Yo, all right. So my question is basically, how do you not feel like a failure? Like, I'm 20 and I have done a lot with my life. And I everybody tells me I'm successful, but I always feel like a failure still.
Why?
I don't know. The honest reason is.
Honestly, like fuck it. Like, Let's go honest as fuck.
So honest reason is like, because when I was younger, my family always like kind of told me like, I would not be like shit or I'm not going to be successful. So it's like, I kind of worked my ass off to get to where I am now. And I still don't see the success that I feel that validates me, you know? And it's like, I always sit and tell myself like, no, like you got to really stop this shit because like you are successful and you're getting more success, but King, you're like, your mind's playing tricks on you.
King, first, success has to be redefined in our culture, bro. like success needs to be happiness, not how many, you know, zeros are in the bank account or how many followers one has. So A, on some real shit, being as young of a man as you are, knowing that you're gonna live four or five more lives, you need to seriously, in its own self, really think, especially when you're coming from hip hop culture, looking at your backdrop, so much of success is in what you got, what you're wearing, who you with, how much you drop, how much you spent. Like, please, please, my man, let's use the serendipity of this moment together to A, start right now, just like, you know, just like your family pounded from the get, which is hard to get out. You know, stuff that's established in the beginning is hard to get out. But A, right from this moment, please use this and watch this video over again. Success needs to be, are you happy?
Yeah.
Are you happy? Comma, you need to really go into this like place, a quiet place, like this cave inside your own head where you need to be like, on some real shit, yo, fuck my grandma, fuck mom, fuck dad, fuck my grandfather, fuck my uncle, fuck, like, you need to go into this place because every piece of value that they have over you is gonna always then go back to that place where you don't think you're shit.
Yeah.
On some real shit. Now, that doesn't mean you have to never talk to them again and fuck them.
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't value their opinion.
Opinion's so fucking much.
You need to shit on their opinion.
Yes.
You need, and by the way, for you and everybody else, people have to look at where that opinion comes from. I have a friend who like really had issues with his mom growing up, and his mom was a wreck. And finally I looked at him like, this is when I was like 16. I was like, bro, your mom's a fucking loser. Why are you listening to her?
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to choose who your family is, but like, you know, which then leads to you don't get to choose who's fucking putting shit into your dome. But the reality is, fuck, like, to your point, if you've already, quote unquote, won more than they said, then now the whole rest of this game, the next 100 years is gravy.
Yeah.
Bro, you need to put positivity in your ears. You know, all those posters behind you, right?
Yes.
Why are they icons? Why are they sitting on your fucking wall? Because they put out stories and people put that shit in their ears and that took them to a different place. It they resonated with it. It was positivity, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes it seemed rugged, but it was optimism. I can get out, right? And so what you need to do now is at all costs, this is for you and everybody else, spend 100% of your time putting practical positivity, not some bullshit. Like if you dream, not some hippie shit.
Yeah.
Practical positivity into your fucking ear and limit that poison.
I feel you, yeah.
Are you able to do that?
Yeah, I actually got better at it because like last year in 2019 was like a really bad year. I was very depressed, but 2020,
why?
I was depressed because
Tell me the truth.
I let a lot of things get to me and I let myself be like paralyzed and I let myself by like people's actions towards me, like fake
like
friends.
What? Tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm. Fake friends, like management, people not getting my full money, stealing money, like all that stuff like really affected me. And then, so I like took a break from social media, like took a break back. But now like 2020, I post every day on YouTube. I started TikTok, I'm at almost 2 million.
I'm
getting deals every day, Brando's deals every day. I'm doing great. Everything that I wanted to do in 2019, I'm doing it now.
Cut poison out of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you ever see Bronx? I think it's Bronx Tale where like the kid like sees a kid that he lent 20 bucks to and he still owes him 20 bucks. And he starts like chasing him and the gangster grabs him and says, yo, you got off cheap. Any manager, any friend or girl that just hung out with you because you had some money, like all that thing, you could cut, you're in control. You cut them out. I'm never mad when people try to floss off me or gloss off me. You know why? I'm in control. A, at this point, and even from the get, I'm hard to trick. But B, if somebody got me, because I didn't even give a shit if they tricked me, I can cut them. I'm the fucking energy.
Yeah.
Bro, this is a positive versus negative, yes versus no,
yeah,
good versus bad fucking world. Fucking lean into good and fucking cut bad out 24/7, 365, period.
I feel what you're saying. I fuck with that, yeah.
And go back to your life in your mind the last 7 or 8 years and think about what was bringing you good vibes And like, I keep telling so many people, I'm like, find that kid in high school that you now think is a nerd because they're not as cool, but they were your fucking homie in junior high, but you think you're a little something, you're trying to be popular, you can't be friends with them, and fucking go back to that person and be friends again, because that's positive energy instead of the fucking negative energy of somebody you're looking up to.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that, yeah.
Bet. All right, King, take care. People know it's another day. We're going fast today. Dave, what's good?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm really well. How are you? Where are you from?
I live in South Carolina.
Fantastic.
I like the office setup. At first, I was like, he went to the office today?
I know. I'm so happy to have the virtual office setup. I'm pumped. What's good? Yeah, what can I help you with?
It's less tea. So So I do a lot of things. How should I explain it? I kind of want to work and create something that focuses on a bunch of things that I like, and then just kind of create one singular sort of brand around it. I watch a lot of anime, which is not the question. I love anime. I make music, lots of rap music, and I love fashion, sneakers, blah blah blah, streetwear, all that stuff. So I'm trying
You're a contemporary, culturally relevant kid.
Yeah. So exactly. So I'm trying to think of ways to build something around that creates something really strong for me personally, in which I can do all of those things. I DJ, I make music, I make beats, I record music, I make clothes, I have a brand, blah, 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 blah.
You're a renaissance man.
Yeah. And that's I feel like that's super normal right now.
It is super normal because the internet lets you do that.
Yeah. And a lot of people try to get you to focus on one thing, but
The people that try to get you focus on one thing are the people that focus on one thing and are boring as fuck.
So I guess with all of that, I'm trying to figure out good ways to grow in all of those spaces more than I have been. It's not going poorly, it's not going amazingly, so it's kind of one of those things where
let me break it down. You could actually get more followers and get more paper if you go all in on whichever one of those six things you're best at. You could. You also wouldn't be fucking you, and you wouldn't be happy.
Yes.
So my big thing to the fucking world is, would you rather be happy and have a little less following and a little less money, or would you rather be sadder and have more following, a blue check, and a couple more dollars? It's a real simple question. Now, my favorite part, what I actually know in my soul, is if you actually stay the course and are just yourself the whole way, you're always one piece of content, either an anime, either in a beat, either in a rhyme, either in a thing. You're always one moment away from things popping off. And then you can say, wait a minute, this just went viral. This just went fire. Drake just like this, what do I do? Then you can decide if you want to go all in on that thing at that moment. But it was that happiness and that continuous making that allowed you to get to that serendipity. So I don't think it's an either or. I actually think you will be bigger, make more money if you stay the course of being Renaissance man. It just takes time, bro. I fucking made videos for 6-7 years before anybody gave a fuck.
Oh yeah. I know that's a thing. And I've already accepted doing everything. I've been through many years of my friends telling me, you should just be a photographer. You should just make music. You should just, do whatever. And so I'm past that. I'm at that point. But it really just sounds like you're saying, just keep grinding it out and it'll
come to you. Yes, because you'll be happy. Some people are not talented and they eventually never really make it. But there is one other overlay. How long have you been following me?
Years. I was one of those watch Daily V, and then I stopped. I'm not too much a fan of Weekly V, so I like got into it and I was like, oh, this isn't for me, and I've sort of moved on, but it's probably been 5 years in total.
So now a really important question. When I started going ham a year plus ago on TikTok, how quickly did you go on, or did you?
I just started. I've been trying to
Let's stop right there. That. I'm going to give you something real powerful here, bro. That. Yes, keep grinding, but please understand that when there's a new platform and there's a land grab of attention, next time, you go hard. Yeah, promise me this, Dave. Promise me this. I've got now 15 years of being right about this shit. In 18 months, in 36 months, in 48 months, when I'm like, lollipop is the shit. Everybody get on lollipop. Make your fucking augmented reality fucking icon. Go. I'm telling you, lollipop. This is just like TikTok. This is just like Twitter. That time, that next time, Dave, I need you to fucking go immediately blindly and being like, I fuck with Gary Vee, fuck it. I'm not making the same mistake. Because if you go on TikTok today versus when I fucking told everybody to go on it, you left fucking millions of views on the table. You can't get big like that no more because everyone's on the talk.
Yep. I know that's a thing. I think I was concerned about, you know, I think yesterday you talked about how every social network starts as one thing and then becomes and then everything. Yeah, yes. Exactly. So I immediately am like, I'm not dancing. I'm not making memes. I'm not doing blah, blah, blah. Things that don't work with my personality. And so like, I avoided it because my personality wasn't
linking with what was going on. This is why I always say to people, watch what I do, not what I say. I went on there and fucking made Gary Vee shit. Mm-hmm. I didn't make TikTok shit. I made Gary Vee shit. Right? And the next time fucking Lollipop comes out, whatever's going on in Lollipop, you don't make Lollipop shit. You make Black Dave shit. Got it?
Yeah.
Dude, see you.
Cool. Take it easy.
Take care of my. You hear that? You hear that yard work in the back?
Yeah, I do.
Love it.
It's not too loud though. I just hear a little bit.
Katie, let's do this. Katie.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you from?
Iowa City, Iowa.
I love it. I've been. I did a book signing there for Crush It.
Awesome. Yeah, I have Crush It and Crushing It. So
Thank you.
I love those books. Yes.
Thank you, Katie. What's cooking?
Just real high level here. So I'm a woodworker and an artist. I've got like a job, the woodworker artist thing is my side hustle. Yep, been doing it for 3.5 years now. Been listening to you about the same amount of time. So of course I'm like on everything, TikTok, YouTube, all of it. I'm putting out as much as I can. Also have a weekly podcast called the Maker Mom Podcast, where I interview other moms who are makers. I've been trying for a while to get live stuff going. And then especially with like COVID going on right now, I'm really focused on wanting to be there for this community that I started building.
And do you have a Facebook group?
I do. I have a Maker Mom Facebook group. Yep.
What's it called for everybody who's watching who wants to join?
Maker Mom. Just Maker Mom. Yep.
Okay. Yep. What's the icon on the group in case there's other Maker Mom groups?
The icon on the group is the logo, which is a mom holding a kid on one hip and a drill in another hand.
I love that. I love that. Go ahead.
So I've been trying to do the live, and I've been doing polls across the different platforms just to see like which ones I'm getting more interaction from, so that's what I'm doing my live stream from. And I get more interaction on the polls on Instagram, but then when I go live on Instagram, I get like crickets. I get almost nobody there. And
what about on Facebook?
To be honest, I haven't tried Facebook yet because I don't get any responses on the polls. So
Facebook Live. Here's a good thing. You shouldn't go with the poll as an indicator. You should just fucking do it and see what happens, right? I mean, look what happened. You got more engagement on the poll on Instagram, but nobody's on. You may go live on Facebook. Now, that may not work as well. So then I would go into your Facebook group and say, ladies, how many people are in the group?
I've got about 50 in the group so far.
Amazing. Say, hey guys, this really matters to me. I really, really, really want to get the live thing going. I'm going to go live on Facebook tonight at 7 p.m. It would mean the world to me if you just said what's up and tagged one friend. It would really mean a lot to me. Boom, now you got your 27 and you got your base and you're off to the fucking races.
Okay.
Always leverage a prior platform when you want to do a new thing on a new platform.
Okay.
I'm watching all these Instagram people that are winning on Instagram, going to TikTok, it's not popping off. And they're like coming to me like, hey, it's not working. I'm like, are you sharing every TikTok in your Instagram stories? No. Have you made a main feed Instagram post of like, yo, I really want you to come fuck with me on TikTok, or I'm doing this giveaway, or I'm doing this fun thing. No, I'm like, well, you have the wrong fucking strategy. You know, so always use a prior platform, your biggest platform, to build your other platforms and then cross-pollinate. Watch what I do, not what I say, is something I like to say. That's what I do a ton of, and that's what you should do to get your fucking live off the ground.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Gary.
Awesome. Take care.
Yep.
We are doing it this morning, Dustin. It's almost like the community and I feel like it needs to be tight. We got one less hour this morning. If you're just joining us, only an hour today. I've got some business stuff going. There's a ton of business stuff going on. By the way, every day after tea with Gary Vee, Dustin, you know this because you probably see it in my calendar, or maybe you don't have access, but 11 a.m. I'm done, and boom, 11, there's a call, and I'm on Zoom and Google Hangout to 7, 8, 9, 10 p.m. Just fucking working out here. I wish this was my job. Let's go. Thirsty Well. Paulus, thank you so much. There we go. Dan Terwilliger. He gets a retweet and a follow because he followed it perfectly. He shared it and has the Facebook link. So big shout out to him. Jonathan, what's good?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Really well.
Awesome. So yeah, just some quick background. I grew up in Philly, live in Burlington, Vermont. I'm a product manager at a technology company. And throughout my career, I've always wanted to do more. Always had energy, didn't know where to put it. I'm a longtime follower of yours. So last spring, started garage sailing. I loved it. Made a couple $1,000. I put that in.
Let's go.
Dude, $5,000.
Started. What was your what was your best flip?
Yep. Amazing Spider-Man. First appearance of Carnage. Bought it for $1. Flipped it for, I think it was like 89.
Love it. I know that comic very well. I actually bought 10. That came out, that, what was that? From 1989, 1990, 1991.
Something like that.
Range, right?
Yep.
I bought a fuckload of that. I thought Carnage was a really cool character. So I bought a shitload of that fucking comic. And sold it for $12 a piece back in the day, and I was fucking fired up. Anyway, nonetheless, go ahead.
So I was super fired up. So I took that money. I started investing in sports cards. I learned that top to bottom. But what I did is I started sharing what I was learning on LinkedIn, and I publicly challenged myself. 30-day challenge. I'm going to post every day, and I'll share with people the results of my profile visits, engagement. I was shocked by the number of people coming up to me at work, outside of, like, we love your content. We can't wait to see it. I wanted to broaden that voice. So what I did is I started a podcast called How We Got Here, UVM Stories, that features alumni from my university that unpacks their stories of how they got from point A to point B.
I love that.
It's
narrow, ownable.
Niche. And it's about optimism, it's about humility, and it's about practicality. I actually interviewed Alex Litwin, your former employee.
Alex, yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's the most recent episode if you want to check it out.
Alex hit me up the other day and said doing that podcast made him realize how much value he got at Vayner and for me, and that really meant a lot to me.
Good, well I'm happy to hear it.
And, he said good things about us?
He did, yeah. He said some great things. There's a short 5-minute clip that I pulled out and I put up. So again, it's how I got here, UVM Stories. And I'm 19 episodes in. I've got over 850 downloads. I've got some great guests on. Would love to, you know, I've been reaching out to people like Ryan Russillo and Jessica Seinfeld. But my question for you is, how do I continue to build on that success and continue to grow my audience?
First of all, you have to realize it's narrow, right?
Yes.
So, you know, it's a specific success story to a college that is a small college in the scheme of things. You're not Ohio State, you know? Exactly. So, you know, I, honestly, just listening to you, like the fact that you've taken information, a lot of the themes that I believe in, and then executed.
Yeah.
I'm super impressed. My intuition is you're well on your way. You have conviction and great energy and charisma. So you're on your way.
Yep.
To your point, you're eventually getting to get to the 5 to 7 biggest alumni, which is going to give you the biggest reach. The question becomes, is it too niche for your broad shoulders? You know, my intuition is it is.
Right.
And so I think it's going to end up being a fun side product that you'll do kind of like how I want to do. I haven't pulled it off, but I've wanted to do Wine Library TV like once a quarter, like once every 100 days, just bring it back. But I haven't pulled it off. You, I think, are going to turn this podcast probably into something that you do almost like Barbara Walters back in the day. You do it like once in a while. It's I think I could see it happening 3 to 4 times a year just to keep it going. But I think you're going to take this experience and level up to something dramatically more broad that can go forever.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's my gut.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to produce more.
Niches are awesome for people that are satisfied with and have the ambition for the upside of maximizing that niche.
Right.
Niches are awesome as springboards to the next thing. Wine Library TV was the springboard to my next thing.
Yeah.
So my intuition is that's what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a springboard, because as I've gotten guests on, I'm like, I'm getting good at this. And like, and people are reaching out to me outside of UVM.
Bro, I can tell you right now, you're good at this. I'm interacting with you right now. You're good at this. I think what you need to go to now is the most broad thing that you're interested in.
Okay. Okay.
Whether that's side hustles, whether that's mindset, whether that's mentorship, you just need to go to the max.
Yeah. So what, I actually have a second podcast that's coming. I'm mentoring two students from UVM to help them find jobs and documenting this experience. We started it in January. So now with COVID.
What's it going to be called?
So it's going to be called How We're Getting There, Graduating College. So it's a little more
That's a forever thing.
Yeah. You know,
just don't let it be in the pocket of UVM.
Okay.
All right.
That's good, man.
Awesome.
Appreciate you, brother.
Got you. What a fucking fire episode, Dustin. Tight, quick, valuable as fuck. But the one thing that's pissing me off, Dustin, is I don't see a lot of tweets. You fuckers, start tweeting Gary VE, screenshot this, share it, give me your thoughts, link to LinkedIn or Facebook's live. Like, talk to me here. Like, this is ridiculous. I need way more. Yazin, good shit. Richard, thank you so much. Gabriel Acosta, you get a fucking follow. I'm your 11th fucking follower on Twitter. That's a fucking win, in my opinion. Let's go. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Gary. As you're saying this, I'm
thank you.
Doing this because I've been doing it. And I'm like, shit, I haven't done it yet. Thank you.
You can ask your question. You get a pass. We'll do it right now.
That's awesome. Wow, this is unfucking believable. Man, I am such a big fan of yours. You know, not even because of the motivation stuff, because I'm a pretty motivated person, but I love that you just keep it real. And you are in my head so much, even, and I'll tell you, so like my question that I first submitted was, you know, how do I keep my side hustle sort of separate from my day job when they're related? And because I'm kind of like trying to protect it. And as this process has been going on, watching you every day and continuing making content and doing my thing, it's almost kind of been answered. And I'd still love to hear about it. So I'm in Miami, Florida, born and raised in Puerto Rico. I'm an athletic trainer. I work with mainly recovery and rehab for athletes, but I work at a high school, and that's been kind of my bread and butter. Mm-hmm. And so I started, talking and connecting both on Instagram and Facebook with kind of different audiences. Facebook is more my sports moms. I really realized that like they're on there, and I just started, I took a step back, and instead of doing a jab and putting something together and selling it, you were in my head and I'm like, that's not worth it. I don't want the quick money. I just want legacy longevity. So I've been like infiltrating groups. I have a small private group of my own. And anyway, it's been really cool. So I've been kind of juggling between talking to the parents on Facebook, talking to mainly the younger athletes on Instagram, because I feel like there's a lot of information out there, obviously, in this space about training and exercise and rehab and recovery. But I wanted to kind of put my spin on it and talk directly to like these kids, like, because like I refer to them as my kids. Like every athlete I work with, like
I love it.
It's like my fucking favorite thing when I get to work with someone and like, you know, something happens and boom, we get him back on the court. Like that's like the biggest high.
I love it.
So that's like my thing.
Look, you got your answer. Like to your point, like I can, the answer is, you know, you can. And so it's just a matter of time before you switch. That's just having the guts to jump in the pool or kiss the boy, right? Like that's just going to be a transition period where you're going to make a call. To your point and what you've learned from me being in your head, keep bringing value. You should start a TikTok immediately.
I started one, and it's been a process. I it's fun. I love it. I get it because I'm around high schoolers all the time. So I get the culture of it.
How many posts have you made?
I have 4 or 5.
Right. You've judged your inability to make something that works too soon.
Yeah, I have.
Do you understand? 6. Everybody makes this mistake. Gary, yeah. I'm in there, but it's not working for me. How many have you made? 6. 6?
No, yeah. I've been, I, it's.
No, we're staying on this.
Sorry. Yes, you're right. Yes.
I'll tell you why. I can tell that you have actual authentic love for these children. I want you to win junior high, because in 24 months, you winning TikTok is game over. Yeah. There's dentists winning on there. There's fucking people that sell fucking like bananas winning on there. Like, you go do you. Don't try to go dancing and fucking do you. Just put out the content, edit it, overlay with words, play with it, play with some music, but like do you in there. I need 2 a day from you during this fucking COVID, not 6 all time before we make a, I don't even want to hear from you that you can't do fucking TikTok until you post 280 times.
Yeah.
Okay. Understand?
Yeah. I've been hitting Instagram hard because I've been getting a lot of good feedback. Good. And it clicked where I'm like, well, shit, I'm fully bilingual and like, I'm good. Like, just like this, like, shit. So I just threw something out there like in Spanish and like,
it went bananas.
They're like, oh, I didn't know. And I started sharing my story. Like, hey, I'm from, this is my, and
story
like,
time. Story time.
I'm from, you know, and
go.
Yeah. I've lined up 2 lives with 2 people that have way bigger audiences than me. One in English, one in Spanish, just talking about whatever, training, this and that.
More.
And so I'm keeping it. I'm like running.
Take advantage of this time right now. Go hard. I'm proud of you. You got it. Yeah. More platforms, more content, more lives. The answer right now is fucking more. What are you going to sit and watch the news and get depressed? Fucking go ham right now.
Watch the news. I don't even have cable.
Ham. More.
Yeah. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
You're
amazing.
Thank you, Michelle. You too. A fucking episode. I'm fucking fired up. Got some nice numbers on Facebook too. Let's share, Facebook peeps, share that live right now in your feed. It would mean the world to me. Let's get people on there. It's just nice. And the feedback gets me going. Thank you, Zach Pereira, following you, bro. I'm your 7th fucking follower, Zachary. Let's go. All right, Dustin's working on his thing. Michelle Duffy Rundon, you get a retweet. Boom. Dakota Farless. Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm super well. What's good?
So my question for you is, we have a virtual office receptionist service where we provide a variety of services to small business owners and mid-sized businesses. We've been around for about 8 years. It's called dedicatedoffice.com. And we're basically a business of all women, all moms. And so right now we're taking a little bit of a hit because, you know, our clients are taking a little bit of a hit. But we feel like it's right now is the time for them to realign and refuel. And so we feel like an obligation, basically, to present our service as the answer, basically, the way that they're going to be able to regroup and, you know, just grow from this, not just survive this, but grow from this, because having a virtual component for us is like the answer to all the elements, bringing it all
together. I understand.
So how do we convey that in, you know, our next strategy, in our next step?
LinkedIn content is a big one. And you just convey it. You interview people, you interview owners that have done it with you. Like you right now, you reach out to all the clients you have and be like, hey, do you want to go do a Zoom with me? You record it and you post it on LinkedIn. It's content.
Right.
It's content at scale.
Okay, so
you know where everybody gets fucked up? They try to convince, because that makes sense. Mm. And I think they need to educate. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You understand that you need to be the news, not an infomercial, right? So put into your head, okay, I'm not going to make an infomercial on LinkedIn. I'm going to make pretend that I'm Bloomberg TV or Fox Business or CNBC. You understand?
Right.
That's what we need to do.
So we're not looking to market and sell anything. We're looking to kind of collaborate and
educate.
When you're
on a Zoom with Rick Thompson, who uses your service and talks about it, and then you post that video on LinkedIn, you're going to get free organic reach, because LinkedIn's organic reach is off. Like, your place is LinkedIn. Your content is interviews and information, not sales pitches.
Got it. Okay. So that was golden right there, because we're a little confused as to, you know, which platform is going to be best for us. We've tried a little
LinkedIn,
bit of everything, but up to now, word of mouth and business events have been our thing.
It's time for you to go virtual. It's right. Time for you to eat your own dog food. You're right. Trying to tell everybody to use technology, and you're going old school on your business development. I need you to fucking go virtual.
Right. So we're starting that. So I kind of developed this persona, Susan Serena, and I just started a YouTube channel, and I've been hearing you about TikTok. So
TikTok for you, TikTok is fun and maybe long term, but you're LinkedIn. Right. You're B2B. You're LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, right.
You're LinkedIn.
That's more of a business platform.
You're LinkedIn.
Gotcha.
All right. Okay. Get that LinkedIn. And it doesn't matter if you have any followers. You fucking create your account. You post. LinkedIn is just like TikTok. It's the only two places on the internet right now where you can have no audience, post the first time, and have shit go crazy.
Right. Okay. All right. That was great. Thank you so much.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dustin, I'm on it today. Like, tight.
Yeah.
I'm just like feeling tight. That's right, Geronimo. Don't try to convince, educate. Good little shout out there. Appreciate that, my man. Trevor Agnew's listening. He's got the logo. He's got the URL. So he gets a retweet and a follow. I'm his 1607th follower from Kent, England. Woke up early this morning and saw Gary Vee was live. I feel like I've won the lotto. Don Juan, I'm live every morning, 9 a.m. Tea with Gary Vee. It's fire. Tell him, Lizette. Mitch, what is good? Good morning. Okay. Where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina.
Fantastic, brother. What's good?
I'll give you a little background story real quick. So I went to school for graphic design. Big fucking mistake. Could have done that shit on my own.
Did you collect debt or did your parents pay for it?
Yeah, I got a little bit of debt on me right now, but you know, I'm working right now to get that paid off, so.
Okay.
I got a job right out of college and I'm working for a apparel company. We do, like customization for sports teams, like colleges and high schools across the US.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So I was working there and I did like regular graphic design shit for a while. And then they threw me in, they saw like I had potential to do marketing cause I do photography, video shit and, like all that type of stuff. So they had me on there and they switched me to marketing. And so right now with this kind of virus going on, like I'm trying to figure out how we can market to the sports world right now. So this kind of shut down. So I was kind of wanting to get your advice on that. Like we use Instagram and stuff like that. And we do.
Who are you targeting? Like, who are you trying to reach? Who's the decision maker on the sports side?
So our company's basically, we are more like teams and coaches. Coaches and teams will come to us and get a store built, or they'll have like, they'll have the team or the coaches will just come and order, you know, a customized product for their team and everything like that.
Like what?
Like it's usually we can have vendors from like Nike, Under Armour, t-shirts, jerseys.
So, I mean, look, right now, there's nothing going to be happening. So you like people are just not putting dollars to work right now until they get settled. There's right. Too much unknown. I think the reality is right now you have to be building brand. Like the question is, are you making branded content or are you making sales content? And that's what you need to focus on, having a good mix of both. And right now I think more branded content to build awareness of the company, because converting on sales driven content is just not going to be there for a business like this.
Right. I think that's what we're doing.
Is most of the content sales driven? Like, hey, buy this, or this is what we have to offer. Yeah.
I think right now is we're trying to like target what we can do, like people in home, like kind of stuff they can wear, like working out at home. But I think where we need to be aiming towards is more of just the brand.
I think so. I also think LinkedIn is a very, very important platform for a business like this that has B2B dynamics. So keep that in mind.
Right.
All right. Cool.
We appreciate it.
Do you like the job?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It keeps me entertained. You know, I don't have a background in marketing, so I'm strictly
you're learning.
Yeah, so I'm still learning, but you know, I'm doing some good things over there. So
do me a favor, spend $50 on Instagram and Facebook ads that you learn how you, yeah. Because I think you learning that as a creative is a very powerful combo.
Right. Okay. We'll do that.
All right. It'll be a good addition to your career. All the art kids need to do a little bit of math shit, and all the math shit kids need to do a little bit of art shit that will make them complete in the world that we're now living in.
Right. Yeah.
Take care, my man. Stay well, Mitch. Good stuff. Fucking drilling here. If you want your question on Tea with Gary Vee, it's 212-931-5731. 212-931-5731 is how you get it. I love what's going on here. A lot of sharing on Twitter. Now we're feeling it. Now I'm feeling it. Fresh Sparks, thank you so much. It is fast and furious today. It is fast and furious today. What is good, Cedric?
Hey, what's up? How are you doing today?
I'm doing super well.
Sweet. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. I appreciate this a lot. So I'll go ahead and get into it. I've been doing YouTube for about five, six years now. I'm at about 50,000 subscribers. And basically what I do is I love music. I love singing and I'm a musician and I love talking about music. And so my idea was, I feel like my strongest asset is my personality. And so I wanted to create something to where people could watch a video, they could relate me to whoever their fave was, and then create that connection, and then we start the conversation from there. My question is, I've been trying for the past couple of years to financially get to a point where I can, I guess, focus on growing for a couple of years. So I'm trying to get to a financial point to where I can, you know, have an apartment, food, whatever, just the necessities taken care of, and then I can focus on just creating content. And I also want to be able to have like a, it probably sounds weird, but I want to have a mentor every day for like a vocal mentor. I want to learn Spanish. Cool. I want to have like a, you know, personal trainer, just have different things every day. So yeah. I'm constantly learning, constantly growing, and just have a time in my life where I can just focus on building. But my problem is that I'm having trouble figuring out how to monetize that, because I've tried Patreon in the past and I got a couple of people, but it wasn't really working. And maybe it was my offer. I've tried doing merch, but I sold some, my mom bought some, my dad bought some. Okay. Yeah, and so that's pretty much all I've done outside of like AdSense. I've had one sponsorship that was a couple hundred dollars, which wasn't crazy. So I'm just trying to figure out, that's my first question. I have one more super small question, but.
A couple things. One, have you debated the fact that maybe hiring a manager or a business partner could be a good move, because you could get into a place where somebody who might have more business strengths might be able to bring you value? That's one debate.
Okay.
There's also the concept of finding something you like that makes money that becomes part of your content. Thrifting with Cedric, being a video each week, that is exactly what Trash Talk is with me, where you literally film yourself going to a thrift store, spending $20, and then posting all the items on eBay and making $500 or $200.
Okay.
You know, I always dreamed about doing a show like Trash Talk where I go and film myself buying something at a garage sale or a thrift store, an estate sale, and then list the items on eBay or wherever. And then when the show airs, those auctions go live so that the audience actually is the one bidding on this stuff.
Okay. So how does what does it look like in this current climate?
Well, it doesn't. Like, we're not leaving our fucking home, right? So this is a little bit maybe 90 days from now. But and that's just one thing that I know would work. And maybe you're like, yeah, Gary, but I don't want to go thrift storing. You know, but like something that actually makes you money that becomes your content. Here's one. Again, might not fit your personality, but obviously a lot of people are watching and trying to give ideas. Maybe there's a segment called Side Jobs with Cedric, right? It's a once a week show. And you literally get random jobs that pay you $200, $150, $300. You mow lawn, you cut hair. Like, I think there's a creative way to film what you're doing that makes you money. And it kind of all feeds itself. Do you see where I'm going?
Yes, I do.
You turn the money making into the content, and then it kind of self-populates. I mean, I think the thrifting would set, like, are you into the idea of like Goodwill and Garage? I think that's a monster. And with 50,000 subscribers, I think that's a monster. I think once a week, you film yourself with your iPhone. Doesn't, you know,
gotcha.
I like this hat. This is cool. Or like this lamp's cool. You like film yourself listing it, and then that's the episode. Your fans bid on it. It just sells on eBay naturally. I think there's something there. I've been thinking a lot about that model. And it's in addition to your content on the singing stuff. I also like the side hustle concept where like literally you're just going on Craigslist and making $75 here, $100 here, and it becomes like a whole funny thing. Mm-hmm. You're just like, you know, just imagine you you're doing like, you're cleaning out an old lady's basement for $80, but the whole time you're singing down there and that's the content.
Got you. Yes. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
You see where I'm going?
Yes, for sure. For sure.
That's the architecture, bro.
Okay.
Good luck.
Cool. Appreciate it. And then one. Okay.
Go.
Super fast. I promise. So I've noticed that there are other people in my space who are big, you know, as well. If I go to their comment section and interact with their followers, is that disrespectful?
It can be. I think one, where you bring a lot of value, like you watch the video and you say something thoughtful instead of like, let's call it what it is, reply to all their followers with the hope that they come and watch you. Yeah. Like, I think if you leave a great comment, like, oh, I really like how, you know, I don't know music well. I love how you hit that high note on the fucking bridge. Like something that brings value and consistent, you will get 10x.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Stay well. Bye-bye. How you get your followers is more important than how many followers you get. There's a guy right now who leaves a comment every time on my Instagram post of like, everybody who follows me now, I'll follow back. And it just spam. Dustin's shaking his head, so he knows. And it was like a kid that I thought was doing some decent stuff, but now I'm like, ah, that's just shit. Especially because he's not actually following everybody back. So don't be full of shit. Everybody plays it their own way. It is tea time in this building. What is up, John?
Gary, how are you, man?
I'm quite well. You?
Could not be any better at all. First of all, man, just really wanted to say thank you for doing this. Like, it's just so amazing. Like, I'm a huge believer in the idea that, like, the world doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. And it's just like, I don't know, I'm devastated by everything that's going on, but there's just so many wonderful things that are happening, like, as a result of it. So I'm just like, really, really thankful for that, man. So thank you for your thoughts and everything.
Happy to do it.
Question is, like, how do you know when the right time is to move on from a company? So to provide you with a little bit of context on me and my life, like, I grew up always wanting to be an entrepreneur. My dad's an entrepreneur, like, kind of grew up always wanting to be like my dad. And nice. Basically, I don't know, I never loved school. I started this like small landscaping business when I was in grade 11, like print out flyers, go knock on doors, got three clients, one of them being my dad, but university. And I came across this opportunity called the Student Works Management Program. So basically what it is, it teaches students how to start and grow their first business while they're still in university. So it's like painting or window cleaning. So you can kind of think of it like a franchise. So it's got like all the systems and everything, but you don't actually have to buy into it as a student. We actually invest into the students. So basically I started with that company, ran my own painting company for 3 summers. Like my first 3 summers of university, did about $260,000 there. Wow. And then I became a business coach and a district manager with the program. So for the last 2 years, what I do now is I basically coach and mentor and recruit and train a group of 18 students to go run their own painting companies. And I literally walk them through from the moment they start right through to the end of the year.
And is that organization a for-profit or non-profit org?
It's for-profit.
For-profit. Okay. And how do they make their profit?
So we basically only make money if the actual owner operator makes money. So we
and you take a piece, and you take a piece of the percentage.
Yeah,
understood. Exactly. Fantastic. Okay, and
so
you're ready to move on potentially.
Potentially, but like I just love it so much. Like the amount of like creation that I'm able to go and do, and like the impact that I'm able to have on these students, it's like literally compared to nothing else.
I guess
I'm kind of at.
I'm sorry. Finish.
I'm kind of at this spot where basically, like, if I do the right things over the next couple of months, like finish this year out strong. You know, I could potentially carve out a spot in the company for me to kind of go up and take on a little bit more responsibility in terms of like the social media side, the branding and like some of the strategic innovation of the company, or maybe like coach one of the people that are kind of in my position now.
Yep, I get it. So
there's a lot of stuff that's kind of up in the air, but really like for me to see my plan through to fruition, for me to like make the company, you know, just an indisputable force for student entrepreneurship in the country, like that's a 3-5 year thing. So I'm not really making a decision whether or not I want to stay for a year. It's like three.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You've created an ideology on the 3 to 5. You're making a 1 year decision. You're making a 6 month decision.
Okay.
Why not 4 to 6? Why not 8 to 9? Why not 1 to 3? You've created, this happens all the time. You've created a theoretical. Good news. How big of an organization is it?
Across Canada, we do 22 million. Like we've been doing this since 1981.
Right. So I'm not so sold that you're going to make this iconic impact in 3 years. what you're doing is you've come up with an arbitrary number that still allows you to be young when you're done with it to go and do your own thing.
Yeah, and by the way, like, I also see a possibility where I stay on even longer than 5 years.
And you might become the CEO one day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That would be awesome. But I guess I don't know.
So let's finish off this thread that I have a strategy on. You're making a 6 to 12 month decision. The end. Okay. First of all, you're making a day by day decision like every other human. But for the fun of this conversation, do not think you're making a 3 to 5 year decision, because then it puts you in a trap. And that's what you're actually worried about.
Yeah, that's definitely it. Cause I don't know. I hear what you talk about with like going out and tasting a whole bunch of different stuff. And I really love that idea.
No. That is for people that are like, I have no idea what I like at all. You are clearly passionate about people and entrepreneurship and operations. Good news. You know, listen, there are some blessed people out there that just know what they like or like something that is so universal. I like the process and I like the flip and I like the marketing and I like the sales. I like business, and it could be this hat, and it could be, my dad happened to have a liquor store. If he had a tire store, I'd be Gary fucking Tires. You know what I mean? So I love the process. And I think just listening to you, you might have that same exact thing going. So, yeah, I think you're in a good spot, and I think you need to just realize you're not signing a 3 to 5 year ironclad contract. You made that up in your brain, and it's fucking you up.
Yeah, no, I definitely did do that, because I don't know. I guess I just hear what you talk about with like patience, right? And I know that to really build that, like, we're starting to really build our social media. Like, that's something we've really taken on in the recent years, and we're doing great. I think we can do even better. And so I guess my 3 to 5 year thing was, you know, what I want to do is increase the amount of proactive applications, people that are reaching out to us.
I get it. University. You want to build a brand.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a sales organization now, and you want to make it a branding organization where it comes to you. I get it. See it. Bro, you need to just decide for yourself, like, every 6 months, every 3 months, every 9 months, every 12 months, if you like it, if you're ready to do something else. Don't create ideology. You created ideology.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, man.
Appreciate awesome, bro. Have a great day. So thanks, everybody who's watching Tea with Gary Vee today. I'm sorry it's an hour shorter, but some operation stuff. Dustin, thank you for the ones and twos. Thank you, everybody on social media. If you have a question for tomorrow, 212-931-5731. If you're in America and Canada, you can ask a question. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Our favorite comment today is from Great Podcast by Keith Thomas Jackson. I would give this podcast 100 stars if possible. The amount of free info that actually works is unparalleled. The gratitude, optimism, and discipline displayed every day in Gary and his team is truly inspirational. I will never be able to express how grateful I am with words for Gary and his team. Keith, we really appreciate you taking time out of your day to write this comment. And remember, please leave a review for a chance to be featured next on the podcast. Have a great day, everyone.